It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the MMA show. I'm not exactly sure how this program is going to go, so hopefully it will be a blessed show for you. You can always find me on the web at theambermayshow.com, and I hope you go there and email me. Send me an email. Let me know that you heard the program and what you think about it. Theambermayshow.com. You can also write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. I had a great meeting today. I talked with this gentleman about all kinds of things, from Bible to schooling to business, everything. It was a great conversation, wonderful visit, and I got to know him a little better. And then, for some reason, I get home and start opening yearbooks. I don't know why, I just did. And there's one particular yearbook that's very painful to open. Not painful in the sense that people wrote mean, nasty things in my yearbook, but painful in the sense that a gentleman, a young man, wrote in my yearbook who I cared greatly about. And then the next year, he died from inhaling something. And that book is so painful to open. See, I grew up with a father who had a no dating policy. There was no dating allowed, so I tried very hard to not lead boys on who found interest in me. And it was so painful because I really, really liked these boys. And then they'd find another girl, and I'd have to watch them date such and such girl. And it was hard. And I thought my dad was the worst guy in the world. And he just didn't understand, and he was so mean, and all my friends could date. Now that I'm older, I have a daughter, I understand. Not that I particularly liked it back then, but at least now as an adult, I understand my dad's no dating policy. You tend to see boys as a predator when you have a daughter, and your daughter is just the world to you, and you don't want any young man to mess up your beautiful daughter. Saying it nicely anyways. Going back to my story. So I met this young man, and I thought he was so neat because he was a junior and I was a freshman. And I was coming out of play practice one day, and he was coming out of ROTC, and we were in the same Spanish class, but we never talked, and I thought he was so cute. But he started talking to me. I couldn't believe it. This junior is talking to a freshman. I mean, not just any junior, but this gorgeous junior who's in uniform. Oh my gosh. I've always had a thing for uniforms. So we got to talking, and shall I say the rest is history? The next day, we started talking. We started sitting by each other in Spanish class. Next thing I know, we're going to lunch together because lunch was before Spanish class. And then before that, he would meet me before school, and we'd start talking, and oh my gosh, I had the biggest crush on him. And he had a girlfriend, and he would write me love notes, and I would tell him, you know, you gotta cut it out, because you have a girlfriend, and you can't talk to me that way unless things didn't work out with the girlfriend. Needless to say, they broke up. And I kind of felt bad about that, because I wouldn't want to be the cause of that, but it happened. But I still couldn't date him, but oh my gosh, I crushed hard on him. He gave me his pager, because back then that's what you did, and I paged him a couple times. But again, my dad didn't like me calling boys, and boys were not allowed over. Every boy that came over to my house and my dad was home, they got chased away. So before I was totally humiliated, I would try and send them home. It was horrible being a teenager of a really protective dad. It's not too bad. I turned out okay. Well, anyways, the year had ended. Spent a lot of time with him that year as a freshman. That was the best year in my high school experience. I had things I was involved with at school. I just wanted to be at school all the time. There was football. There was all kinds of things going on. I just really loved it. And he came by my house one time during the summer between my freshman and sophomore year. And gosh, I was so grateful for it because he would drive me home sometimes. That's how I found out where I lived. And I thought it was so neat. And he told me to page him and he wanted me to. And I paged him a couple times, but again, Dad wouldn't let that happen. And one night he was just on my heart, just so strongly on my heart to call him. And I thought that was just me liking him so badly that I wanted to call him, but I didn't want to lead him on. So that's why I didn't call him. But perhaps that could have been the prompting of the Holy Spirit to have me call him, because that could have been the night. I'm not for sure, but maybe that was the night he died. His number was sitting on my floor in my bedroom, and I just stared at it all night. Because when it came time to sophomore year, early on, right when school started, we get an announcement that he had passed away. I was completely devastated. It just rocked my world so bad. And the sad thing is, I live right by the funeral home where they had the service. So I've never been able to get that pain out of my heart and mind. I mean, it goes away for a while, but then it comes back. So looking at that particular yearbook is so painful because he wrote some of the nicest things to me. And I never have felt beautiful except for a short time in my life. There was a couple years when I was in my early 20s that I just felt like I was a pretty girl. But my whole entire life, I've never felt that I was attractive. So that particular message made me feel like, wow, maybe I was kind of cute. And I was reading some other messages, and another boy wrote, I totally forgot. He's like, I love knowing that I'm living next to a really cute girl. That made me feel good. I mean, a lot of boys were putting their number in my book. Hello, that should have been a clue that you're not the ugliest girl in the world. Boys want you to call them. But I didn't feel that way. I guess I brushed it off like they're just being nice, or they probably did that to all the girls. I don't know. Perhaps I did. But so I would find a few notes in there. Then I found another note. And one of the girls that I've been friends with since junior high, she wrote, "Thank you for making me feel loved, even when I wasn't lovable." Wow. I couldn't just stop at the first boy who I am still hurt over. I had to read on because I had to make myself feel a little better. That pain is still there. Why didn't I call him? I could have done more. I could have said more. I could have explained why I was kind of brushing him off. Not totally brushing him off, because we would always talk. When we were together, I would talk with him. I think he knew I liked him because we would flirt. But I wouldn't let it go too far because I didn't want to lead him on. But that girl's message really touched my heart in a positive way. Perhaps she needed to be on medication, I don't know, but there'd be times when she would just go crazy. She'd be hard sometimes to talk to. I don't know what was going on at home. I have no idea. For all I know, those bursts of anger were things she was releasing because of things going on at home. I have no idea. I didn't go around her house that often. When we saw each other, it was usually at school, a school function or something like that. I went over there occasionally, but not that often. So I don't know what her home life was like. But I've heard that before, or at least I've tried to do that. Make people feel loved when they're unlovable. Because isn't that the whole point of trying to follow this Christian life? I think all of us fall short, and sometimes some of us fall short more than others. Because a lot of people get hurt by the things supposed Christians say and do and act. And sometimes that turns people away forever. So what are we supposed to do with hurts that have come across in our life? The only thing we really can do is make them learning experiences to do better. So one thing I learned from this boy who I cared about greatly, I mean, I couldn't even finish school that day. I cried and cried for weeks. And it was perfect timing when I went to my high school youth group. I met another boy, we'll just leave it at that, where I worked at. And he invited me to his church. His dad was a pastor, my dad was a pastor. And we just kind of clicked, just became really, really good friends. I enjoyed his company. We didn't really talk much at church because he had a girlfriend, and I think he didn't want to give his girlfriend the wrong impression. But anyways, we got along real well. We really did. And it was such a blessing that he came into my life, because that was a hard year for me. And that year going to that church really helped me through some dark times, because school was never the same for me after I found out he died. Getting involved just kind of went away. I just didn't have an urge to or desire to really get involved like I did my freshman year. And it kind of stayed with me because, you know, I was at school with him. So everywhere I went, I would see him and me together, the guy who died. And so I think being at that school was painful enough. The memories of. So I think that's why I didn't really enjoy high school. Plus, our class wasn't really spirited. But God led me to this job. And by doing so, I met this young man. And he invited me to his church, and I went once, and I stayed going. I just really enjoyed it. And I made some lasting friendships out of that. And I encountered some real positive experiences. And because of those experiences and those relationships, it was helpful for me to get over some of the pain that was caused when that young man died. And sometimes I'd pray to God, let me speak to him. Just let me tell him why I didn't call him that night, or tell him I'm sorry I didn't call him. Sometimes I'd have dreams talking to him, whether it was real that God actually gave me that chance to speak to him, or if it was just my subconscious, I don't know. But I would always tell God, send him a message, tell him. I was grateful to learn that this young man had been going to youth group. He had a troubled home life, and his stepdad would beat his mom, and he'd try and step in, and then him himself got beat. So he ended up living with his grandparents, and I really don't know much about that past the grandparents. So I know that he would smoke weed sometimes, and that was another thing that I couldn't accept that in my life, because first of all, my father would definitely not approve. And I just didn't want to get tangled up in drugs. Not that I think he was high all the time, but he would tell me stories and that I just didn't like. And so when he inhaled something, whatever it was, that was the last thing, and it took his life. So drugs actually killed him. And clearly he was trying to deal with things that were going on in his home life. And he didn't make the right choices because he wasn't being guided properly. I was blessed that the girlfriend he broke up with was taking him to church. The youth pastor stood up and said that he did profess that he believed in Jesus Christ and that he believed that Christ died for him. So I was so relieved to know or to believe that he's up in heaven with God, and someday I'm going to see him again. And hopefully I can apologize to him or talk to him or explain things, or maybe it won't need to be said. Maybe there'll be just an understanding. I don't know what it's like up there. But I don't know if there's been a past hurt that has bothered you so much that still today it affects you. And that's why I can't open that book, because I want to cry even to this day from that pain of losing that young man. I mean, I really, really cared about him. I've learned as a parent things that I'm going to do different with my child. I don't know what my husband and I's dating policy will be with our daughter. I know one thing my husband kind of says right now while she's little. Some of the things my dad said as I grew up and was at that dating age, no dating till I'm 30 or 40, and she's not going to wear this, and she's not going to look like that, and so on and so forth. That's just a father protecting his daughter from predators, from guys who just want nothing but to use her and throw her away. And she's so much more than that. She's a jewel to us and to our hearts. And we, as parents, would never let anyone try and take her for granted like that, to just throw her away like garbage, because she's so much more valuable than that. But not every boy that comes into our life is going to see her for what she is, the true value she is. That being said, perhaps God put him into my life to be an uplifter, to encourage him, to bring him closer to God. Because that young lady in my yearbook said, I made her feel lovable when she was unlovable. I can't believe I did that at that young of age. I thought maybe that's just something I developed as an adult, or at least I try to. I strive. Maybe I don't always reach that, but at least I strive to do that. So I might have missed my calling with that young boy. I don't know. But the feelings I have still linger today, not in terms of how much I cared about him, but I guess the loss. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I'm in love with him today. I love my husband very much, but there was definitely a strong connection, and that had changed my life big time. It's so hard for me to just go down that street. It's so hard because I look and I just remember. And perhaps it's because there's a lot of things in my life still that remind me of him. I don't know. But if there's a past hurt that is deep in your heart today, I just want to encourage you to pray about it and ask God to just to work through it. Because honestly, I'm at the verge where I kind of want to cry right now. But also, I want to remind you that it's a learning experience. How can we improve? Okay, I failed in this situation. I did this and I shouldn't have done it. Or I shouldn't have said those things. I should have made a phone call. I should have prayed when he was on my heart. Whatever the case may be, someone might have hurt you and that pain is just so hard to get over. So it's festering into ugliness. That's the danger when we don't deal with our pain that has hit our hearts. It can fester and become very ugly, where we just lash out at everybody and we're mean and we're nasty. And it gets to the point nobody wants to be around us. And then you become very lonely. And I think that bitterness will just keep growing and growing and growing. Pain isn't meant to stay in our hearts forever. It's meant to make us a better person, helping those around us who have gone through that hurtful situation. We're supposed to do something positive with that pain. If we don't, then we become bitter and ugly. So if you are dealing with something, if people tell you you're mean, you probably are mean. But why is that? Maybe at one point you really weren't a mean person. Did something really painful hurt you so bad you just buried it inside and did nothing with it? Just buried it. You can only bury pain for so long before it festers and blisters into something that's ugly. I hope that that isn't the case for you, but if it is, I would just encourage you to mourn that loss. Let yourself feel that, I guess, and grieve how everyone else grieves when they go through something very painful. It's okay. It's okay to let yourself open up and to feel that pain and to mourn about it just like everyone else does. There's nothing wrong with that. It's called being human. I would encourage you to call a good friend maybe after a few days of you just opening up and letting that out of your heart, or go to your pastor, or go to that person that's hurt you and just let them know. Maybe they really have no idea how bad they hurt you. And just release that. Let it get out of your heart. Because if you don't, your marriages are going to fail. Your friendships are going to fail. You're going to do poor at your job. No one's going to want to be around you. You're going to be a lonely person with nothing more than maybe a pet that likes you. We're not meant to be lonely creatures. We're meant to have relationships. God did that on purpose so that we would desire to have a relationship with Him. Because He wants to have a relationship with us. So He created us to want to have relationships with people. It's not normal to want to be alone. People who are alone are people who have been hurt severely. It's not healthy to be alone all the time. There's times and places, but it's not healthy. After you've gone through your mourning period, use that to be productive. Do something positive with that hurt that you felt. Reach out to someone. Maybe you do your own podcast. I don't know. At the bare minimum, you can now know what changes need to be made for your future. So if that situation, whatever it is, comes across, you can handle it better. At the bare minimum, use it like that as a positive change. So in my case, if someone comes to mind, I pray for them and I call them. Yes, now as a grown up, I don't have to worry about my dad chasing off boys per se, but obviously I have a husband. I'm very respectful of that. And I love him dearly, but he also understands if I tell him, like, my friend so-and-so, I feel like I really need to call him. I have male friends, not like I have female friends. It's different, but he's totally understanding. And the same way with him, you know, if he tells me, hey, I totally understand. And I've also learned to be different with my daughter. Okay, so we don't have a dating policy. But does that mean she can't call guys on the phone? For me, no, that doesn't mean that. I don't know what our dating policy is. I'm just thinking out loud. Would I chase off a boy that came to our door? No, because I don't know what God's going to do through my daughter. I don't know. And I don't want to destroy that. Now, that being said, I really don't think my dad did anything on purpose to hinder anything that maybe God was doing or hurt me in any way because of how I felt. That's not the case. He was just being a father the best he knew how to do. And that meant boys were predators. They're going to get my daughter. They're going to use my daughter. They're going to abuse my daughter. And my daughter is beautiful and I love her. And I would never want anyone to use my daughter. That's what his mentality was. But I have another perspective because I know in my own life what happens. What happened to me? Remember, the website is theambermayshow.com. You can always write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out.